Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 52 of the Flow State Gaming Podcast. I am your host, Rogan Prescott, and with me, Coulter Fair. Actually, he's not, because he left us on our one-year anniversary. He left us to Texas, and I would like to apologize to the community and to this episode on Sea Doggy himself bailing on us. You know, he knows it's going to be a trash intro, and there it is. You know, it sucks. So, we're just going to get into it. This episode, I'm going to be talking about Killjoy, do an agent overview on her, and then just doing the normal intro and whatever, all of that great stuff. And I also have a stage channel in Discord right now. Later on in the episode, I'll be taking people's questions, asking them about just talking about Killjoy mainly, and seeing what they have to say. So for hot drinks, boys and girls, we are running the Taj Mahal. But for a little twist on the Taj Mahal here, you know, Coulter's not here, but I went to the store and I grabbed some Pike's Place coffee. And the reason for the Pike's Place coffee is because, you know, Coulter, for the OGs that remember, he had his Pike's Place roast with him. So even if Coulter's not here, he's with us in my coffee. And of course it was decaf. So that's kind of my tribute to Coulter here. Hot drinks, guys, yeah, it's just the Taj Mahal double shot, and I obviously had to crack open a cider as well. There it is. That's our one-year celebration. How great. You know, a fantastic year of amazing episodes, an amazing community. I want to say thank you to all of you who have supported us. It's been quite the journey. I don't think we could have ever expected it to be this, you know, have people like this amazing, this cool to support us. I don't think we ever expected that. So thanks to all of you. We really do appreciate it. Even if you're listening to the episode, even if you're listening to the podcast, it's super, super helpful and supportive. So announcements. Announcements this last week, guys, I feel terrible. I have not played Valorant at all. You know, I've been very busy. I've been doing other things, and I have been caught up in other games. Apex Legends, I've been playing a little bit. Not a ton, just because I haven't had time. But it has been helping my aim. It's actually a really fun game just to, like, get my head off of Valorant. You know, I've said it many times before. It's just so hard to get into Valorant when you're not feeling competitive. So I've been playing Apex, and then my Valorant account, it's actually, so I didn't know how this worked. In Immortal, if you don't play for a certain amount of time, your account ranks down to Immortal 1, and it shows that you're at, like, rank 0, but it kept my RR, so I'm still at, like, 170 RR, but I'm Immortal 1, so I'm not really sure how that works. I'll probably play a couple games this week just to see, you know, where that ranks me into, because I'm kind of curious. But I do want to get back into Valorant. I think I'm just taking a break. You know, I think the lack of updates, guys, it's insane, like, how much that affects me. There hasn't been, like, much to talk about, hasn't been, like, you know, new things every week, and it's kind of getting bland for me, so that's why I was just switching up other games. And then obviously I'm going to come back to Valorant. I love the game. It's a great game. But I just want to say that. Community feedback. This is a great section. And for our 1 year, I would love to give community feedback from what we've received. But I think I'm going to hold off for next episode. I would say, like, this is like episode 52, 1 year, part one. And next week, you know, Coulter's going to be back. We're going to be full in full motion, going to be ramming hard. So I'll probably just save the community feedback for that. And it's gonna be nasty. You know, I feel bad. I think we both do. We want to deliver something to the community, so expect probably big things in the coming, you know, upcoming episodes. That's what I mentioned in the Discord, so hopefully you guys caught that. So like I said, I'm going to be talking about Killjoy and then just some other topics. I think I'm going to first start off with smurfing. We talked about it so much. Like, smurfing is such a huge topic in Valorant, and there was just a huge convo that happened in Discord the other day just about it, and I just had some good points. But before I get into it, this is the very last time we will talk about smurfs. We've talked about it too much, and the issue is, like, there's no way to fix it. There's nothing that's going to happen unless, like, an update comes out. Like, when a big update comes out about smurfing that's going to change the game, we'll obviously cover that. But I think the talk about smurfs has come to an end. We're not going to go anywhere from it. It's just going to be the same points are going to be being brought up. Even some people in the community, they also kind of agree it's just getting kind of boring. You know, just getting out of hand. Official Shelter, thank you for the sub, dude. 1 year pog in the chat. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. But anyways, guys, smurfing, it needs to come to an end. Like people are always going to smurf in every single game. Valorant, you just feel it more because it matters more. You know, ranked is such a big part of the game. And there are a lot more smurfs than other games, but it's not going to change. So I'm just going to go over some points that were mentioned. Lingo, very loyal, only squire in our kingdom. This is what he had to say. Smurfs are good for the game. This is a very spicy hot take from Lingo. They already exist in every rank to immortal, and they build tough skin for lower ranks to just increase the skill ceiling, making better players in the rank economy where rank doesn't matter anyways at this point. So, Lingo, you know, he's saying that smurfs are kind of good for the lower elo. And I think that's very good. I think that's also good to an extent because, you know, in every single sport, in every single activity or whatever, if you play against people who are way better than you, you'll start to pick up on those things that they're doing, and you're going to get better faster. If you're like a silver player, you're playing with platinums all day, you're going to eventually get kills. You're going to learn how to kill them. This kind of happened with me when I was trying to rank up to immortal. Like before, I was always going in head first, never talking to my team. Never, not once. And I could never win these gunfights because the majority of people in immortal, they have better aim than me. I'm not like an insane aimer by any means. And these people, you know, they're grinding every day. They have better aim. So it's like, that was my weakness, is like, how do I overcome that? How do I, you know, like get wins more? Or how do I overcome my enemy? And that's kind of something that I learned, and then being able to rank up, is that I played back. I played Sage. I played Omen. I just try to help out my team as much as I can. And I kind of came more of like a team player instead of that Jett or that Raze duelist that just rushing in every time. And you're still able to do that just with your team more instead of, you know, lurking every single round. And then focusing on impact frags. I've mentioned it before. Like, impact frags is kind of everything. Someone will say, like, dude, if you're bottom fragging, it doesn't really matter. Like, cause there's a Jett on your team that could be getting 3 kills every single round after the round's over or at the end of the round because she's lurking. And then, you know, your whole team's dead, and then she just gets 3 kills, but she's not going to help the team because she's still going to lose. Impact frags is something that you guys should start looking at. I've kind of been, like, trying to work on it, on, like, focusing on my kills, like, focusing on the important kills, on the first bloods, getting that first trade. If you don't get that first trade, you're going to be rammed, obviously. But Lingo also mentioned 2FA, two-factor authentication. This is just like for Smurfs, to combat Smurfs, you have to have your phone or some other device attached to your Valorant account. So when you sign in, it will send like a notification to your phone or an email, and then you type in that code and it lets you in your account. This does help with like different accounts. Every single company uses it. A lot of companies use it to like prevent bots from getting in. And it would help a little bit, but also like people can make 3 emails. If they're already going through the process of making another account, they're going to have to get a new email or whatever. They're going to have to get a different, they're going to have to play, you know, those 15 games of unrated just to get to ranked in their Smurf account. They're going through all this work. So what's to say they're going to, you know, they're going to make another email account. They're going to find a way. I know there's a bunch of different phone generators that you can two-factor authenticate to. There's a lot of ways around it. The only thing, like the biggest thing that it prevents two-factor authentication is like hackers getting into your account or a bunch of bots, you know, making 100 accounts and then playing them. So that's like the problem with it obviously is a great idea. I think they should do two-factor authentication. I just don't think it's gonna get rid of a lot of Smurfs. This is a reason why I'm talking about this right now, is that Trusty later on in the convo, he just said, "I'm so tired of having these Smurf convos. I think we just need to accept it." And that's where it's at, is that we just have to accept it. It's the game. It's the name of the game. You have to play it. You're gonna get Smurfs in your lobbies. It's fine. And guys, that's kind of just why I wanted to talk about it this episode, because it's always talked about. And there's a time where you just need to cut it off and then focus on other things, like how to get better, or, you know, just talk about different strategies instead of Smurfs. And eventually, I think Smurfing will come, you know, it's not going to get more and more and more. It's not going to be more and more Smurfs. Like, I think eventually people will start going back to their main accounts. And it's going to stay at this level of like, this is the amount of Smurfs. It's not really going to get any more or any less. But like it does suck when you're going against a guy with 35 and 8, like you can't do anything against him because he's so much better. You cannot win that game if that guy is smacking on your entire team. And that's often the case with Smurfs. I get Smurfed on all the time. It happens in every single rank. Like, so in Immortal, like I'm not a great Immortal player at all. But there, I would say there's 2 different types of Immortal players. There's the people who get there and they don't try as hard, or they don't play the game a lot, like me. And they're kind of like, they find this little niche thing to rank up into, or they're boosted or whatever. And then there's these other people who actually play the game every single day. They're streamers. They've hit Radiant before. Their aim is insane. And like those are the people, like if they get into my lobby, if there's like a Radiant Smurf that gets in my lobby, I do not stand a chance against them. Like my entire team doesn't stand a chance against them. They're racking up like 33 kills. In the end of the game, they have like, you know, 350 combat score, just absolutely filthy. And it's the same case with every single rank, is that you get those lobbies, it sucks. Because I already know that you can't win the game. You just have to try your best. And that's almost the worst part about it. You know, because you're just trying to do your best. But, you know, your spirit can only go so far. You can only stay positive for so long. And then your entire team gives up and that's it. So if you do hit those games, just, I would say, forget about it, you know. I wouldn't say give up. Just do the best you can. Just don't let it like wear down on the way you play the game. Like just kind of accept it. You know it happens to everyone. It's fine. Like it's just a game, and then move on to the next game. You know, just try to get better. And then eventually, like those Smurfs, you'll be Smurfing on them. If you're going at this progress, you know, you're getting better and better. You're learning more about the game. And you're going to learn how, like, if someone pushes you, if there's a Smurf that's literally swinging every single corner, Like, you'll find ways to counter that. And there's tons of ways to counter it. I think everyone kind of finds their own way to do that. So doing that, like, that will help a lot. It is such a pain, though. I feel you guys. I feel everyone who's been smurfed on. We all deal with it. But this should be the last of it. This is the last we'll talk about smurfing. I know everyone's kind of sick of it, so we're just going to move on. And hopefully we will find a fix. If we do find a fix, we'll cover it. I don't really know. There's a lot of ways that they can do it. I just don't know the best way to get rid of smurfs. So we'll see, man. And then, yeah, so that's it for smurfing. Next topic is Killjoy. So reason why I want to talk about Killjoy, because I have actually been playing her a lot recently. Killjoy is quite nasty. She's obviously a Sentinel. She's extremely good for holding flanks, post-plant. I would say in every scenario, like attack and defense, she's not really one-sided like some agents are. I would say she can be played on every single map because of like the range of her abilities. Her turret can shoot, you know, across the map. Her nano swarms can be activated and whatnot. She's extremely good. So I think I'll just go through Killjoy like we do with other agents, kind of just go over abilities and then go back through her abilities, talk about how to use them, how they're used best and how they work. So obviously her Q is her alarm bot, and this is just, you know, a bot that sits on the ground. It has a range. When people get near it, it'll be alerted, and then it goes to them, explodes on them, and then makes them vulnerable. This is just really, really good for info, and you can play an area holding a peek, and you place an alarm bot on the other side. You know that area is going to be free. You can't really go past an alarm bot, which is nice. You can't, like, you know, shoot a Sova dart. It's like right when that alarm bot sees you, they know that you're there. You can't really prevent that from happening. It's like automatic info. They can obviously shoot it, but then it'll say on Killjoy, like, alarm bot destroyed. So they'll know that that area now has someone. And then her E is her turret. She just places a turret down, and then it can shoot, you know, super far away, anywhere it wants to. This was just updated, so when it does shoot, it doesn't slow down the enemies as much. Before, it slowed down the enemies a ton. When the turret shot you, like on pistol round or something, you had to break the turret, or else you're walking extremely slow, and then you won't be able to move anywhere. So they changed that, so you can actually run past it a lot quicker now, and it kind of helps running against the turret when you don't have a gun, or if you're just wanting to get a pick without shooting that turret and wasting your time on that. But the turret is another great, great utility for info. And then her nano swarm, it's her C. It's just a nade that she throws down, and then she can activate it from anywhere where she's at. This is very good for post plant, also just clearing out cubbies. It's a really wide radius and it does a ton of damage. And then her ultimate, her lockdown, that's just, you know, the huge radius. It does the dome. Anyone inside is going to be vulnerable to it and whatnot. And then they can't do anything for a certain amount of time. So I'll just go back to her ult. Her ult is used in a lot of different ways. I would say the most effective is just on attack when you're pushing on a site. And just trying to get as much room as possible, pushing them back to the farthest corner or whatnot. With her ult, I've been playing Killjoy a lot on Fracture. I'm not sure what side it is, but it's a site with the tunnel underneath that goes under it. I said this on my stream, but the I think it's B site. There's a tunnel that goes under the site, and then you can place your ultimate underneath that tunnel, in the tunnel, and it ults the entire site, and the enemy has to back off completely back into their own like spawn. And then you can take sight. You can Viper wall it, smoke it, and then you have free sight. So what we did on Fracture, I had one person holding an orb. One orb, since there's four orbs on Fracture, I had my entire team, each of them, they held one orb. And then I ran around the map, literally just ran around everywhere, grabbing these orbs. Like, the jet would smoke the orb for me. I grabbed it, ran back. Cypher would cage it for me. I grabbed the orb, and this was on their save round. So I got 4 orbs every single round, and then with plant, I got 5 orbs. So I was ulting almost every other round underneath B. And I think we swamped them. It was like 13-4 because they couldn't do anything. Because you had the Viper wallet, and then you get bombed down. You're playing post-plant, and it, like, that's game. When you have that post-plant, you have all of that map control, and it's a 5v5. You're on the defensive now. They have to attack you, and they're not prepared for that because they don't have great util for it. You know, they've already used their util early round, and it works very well. And then when you're playing default on Fracture, it's like when everyone's holding that orb, anyone who pushes up, they're going to see them there. So the enemy also that's defending, they don't have any info. Even though they know where everyone's at, they see, like, everyone is on their ult orbs, it doesn't matter because they still don't know what site you're going to hit. And that, it's super effective. So I'm saying this because on every single map, it is very helpful. If you just farm ult orbs with Killjoy, the Killjoy ult is amazing for taking sight. You know, just pushing them back and being able to get that ult, those ult orbs early round, and then keep on farming them, and you'll just be using your ult a bunch. And that's what I've been doing playing her. It's been working a ton. Like, any Killjoy, you should just try it out on Fracture. Fracture is obviously the best map to do it since there are 4, and you can do it super, super often. It'll change your lives. That's all I'm saying. And then her Nano Swarm. So I don't know. There's a lot of people that this has happened to, but if you can picture Haven, when Killjoy is retaking on A, she can ult kind of like the mid area. She can ult A, and then you can have a lineup with her Nano Swarms that hit back of A long, and then she can engage those, and so the ult, it covers the entire A site, and the back of A lobby, there's that little cubby there that people can stay without getting hit by the Killjoy ult. But Killjoy, her Nano Swarms, they can be lined up to hit that little cubby. And when she engages them, every single person has to run all the way from A long all the way back into, like, the attacker spawn, pretty much, and in, like, A short area. Because if they don't, they're going to be detained. Like, the retake on that is crazy. So you can pair up with, like, the Nano Swarm. You can do it on Ascent, a bunch of other ones. You can do this. You can get lineups with the Nano Swarm and pretty much get kills with it. Because if they do get detained, they're in the Killjoy Molly, and they're going to die. So pairing, like, both of the ult and the Nano Swarms is very effective. Also, just with the Nano Swarms, you can do setups a bunch, like setting up the Nano Swarm and the Alarm Bot in Hookah. It's great. And I would say it's not really good. You can't really get a lot of kills with the Nano Swarms a lot, just because people can shoot them, and, you know, they can just run from them really easily. Unless they're paired with like a sage orb or other abilities, but even then it's kind of hard to get kills from them. It's super good just to hold them off, though, because if, like, you're going to molly, they aren't going to run through the molly. So you can just set one down, and then if they are rushing you, you have that time to hold them off, and then your alarm bot, all of your utility, it's good to hold off, and then get your team to rotate before they take sight. Another tip for the Nano Swarms is that a lot of people do post-plant with them. You can set them on top of the bomb, and then run across a map and then activate them. There's no radius to activate them. You can activate them from anywhere you're at. So they'll place 2 on the bomb, but when they place 2, like the attackers or the defenders, they'll retake on bomb, and they have to shoot they can shoot the Nano Swarms pretty easily. They're really easy to see, and they're going to be expecting the Nano Swarms to be there, so they're probably going to shoot them, and then you won't have that post plant, and then you're going to have to push up and you know, try to take sight. It's just going to put you at the disadvantage if they do shoot them. So if you do learn, what I recommend is if you learn lineups or if you have kind of a line of sight of the bomb, just throw your nano swarm like before the bomb's going to go off. You know, you're playing for time. Throw the nano swarm and then activate it like instantly right when it lands, because they can't shoot it while it's in the air, and then they don't have time to shoot it when it hits the ground. And that'll kind of guarantee that that nano swarm will be up. So what I've been doing, I place one on bomb, and then I'll activate it kind of earlier if I know that like the person's nearby or about to tap bomb, just to prevent them from shooting, so they won't shoot the nano swarm before I can get it off. And then, you know, they're close to bomb, so they can't hold it and get it half. And then I'll back up, and then, you know, if that Killjoy Molly goes out, I hear the bomb tap, I'll throw the Killjoy Molly, activate it right away, and then I have that extra time. Just that, you know, when you're throwing that Killjoy Molly, it just helps a lot, giving you that guaranteed nano swarm. And then her turret, I mainly use her turret on flanks. I don't know why, but I love the turret on flanks because it's like this guaranteed, thing of like, you cannot push this turret without being seen. You know, you have to like shoot it, or it's going to shoot before it can see you, before like you can kill it, and then you're notified. It's some of the best info. And also you're never really going to get kills by this. You'll get, you know, that random kill when they're at one health or whatever. But even then, like, it's going to be very rare where you get kills with this. Using it to stall the enemy is like the biggest way. I'll put it in areas where the enemy can't see the turret unless they push an angle and expose themselves on sight. So when they push, the turret's shooting them from the side. When you hear that turret shooting, you can swing. They're looking at the turret. Then you can kill them that way. If you just have a turret looking down all of flank, someone's just going to peek it. They can shoot turret. And then, you know, all you know is that the turret's destroyed. You know someone's flank, but it's not really helping you out any other way. You know, you just know that someone could be flanked. They might not. If you put it on an angle, they're going to get closer. You're going to know kind of a better area on where they're at, and you'll be able to get them that way. This is just the most effective. Like, there's a lot of different, all of her abilities that can be countered really easily. And you don't want to just be laying them all over the place, because it's not going to help that much. If you're doing a bunch of Killjoy setups, you have, you know, two nano swarms in this area or whatever, you're not going to have that util if they go the other site. You're not going to have this util for other situations, since it'll already be placed on the ground. And for that reason, I would say, like, hold off, refrain from placing all your abilities down. Be careful of it, because they can be destroyed so easily. With her, going back to her alarm bot is very, very good. I mentioned this a long time ago, but on like Ascent, you can place the alarm bot mid and then just leave mid unattended, and the Killjoy alarm bot will just hold mid for you. You can pretty much wait until, you know, that alarm bot goes off, and then you'll go, you know, place one mid. You know, you can do this with A site or B site. Just place this Killjoy alarm bot, and then just kind of leave site, focus on some other area, because you don't have to worry about that right now. And think of your turret in that same sense of that alarm bot. Like, my turret's here, so I don't have to look at this other area. Killjoy is really good for, you know, cutting off a bunch of different angles. And it's super, super nice for that. So those are her abilities. I'm going to move over to the Kingdom Hall here. A peasant has a question. So I'm going to bring him on and see what he has to say. The cloaked kunai, are you there? While we wait for that, I'll just keep on going. So Killjoy, obviously, those are all of her abilities. She's a Sentinel. The best way to play her, like I was saying, is to be careful of her abilities, but also help out your team in the same way of, like, if don't put it all on one site. If you can help out one of your teammates by placing that turret or by placing out the alarm bot in multiple areas of the site, then it's going to help the round way more. It's going to help it a lot more. So when you do that, it just prevents pretty much your enemies from taking, if they all go B long, you have everything set up in hookah, none of your abilities are going to do anything. And it's just going to pretty much mess you up big time. And then when your abilities are scattered all over the place, it just makes things confusing. Hey, Cloaked Kunai, how are you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, what do you got for me?
Oh, I just wanted to ask, because recently when I've been playing on Fracture, I've seen a lot of Brimstone and Killjoy. Now, I'm Iron 2, so this probably doesn't matter for much higher ELO, but I do see a lot of Brimstone being played on Fracture. So I was wondering, well, what are your thoughts on that, on Brimstone and Fracture? Because where I am, he seems to be somewhat meta. I don't know how that is for everyone else, but I just kind of feel like that.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that you say that. I haven't really seen Brimstone at all on Fracture, but that's just because I haven't really been playing Fracture a ton. I guess, like, I think in Fracture, there's a lot of, if you think about site or whatever, each site is very small and it's kind of condensed. So you can kind of see that his ult might be really good for that. Also his smokes, his smoke agents are really good. Yeah, because it kind of kicks you off of like the entire site, right?
Like I was playing the other day and we were in the middle of planting and he just drops his orbital strike and it just hammered my friend.
Oh, dude, and yeah.
It was like, spikes on site, we got to go get it, got to go plant it, but... You know, we can't because now they've orbital strike that we got to get it and we can't really get it because they're already on the site.
Yeah, that's actually, yeah, that's very true, because when they do orbital strike, you don't really have any other place to plant without exposing yourself. You're kind of, I feel like every spot on plant on site is like, there's only one safe spot per round, you know? If you go another place, someone's going to see you really easily. So like, yeah, his ult is pretty big for that. I would say every like entrance you can smoke really easily too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, especially with the Brimstone.
Yeah, and then placing all the smokes at once is really important instead of like these single smokes. So mm-hmm. It kind of puts Omen out of the picture if you think about it.
Yeah.
You know,
Omen has
small smokes are only like, you know, Omen smokes are pretty much only good for like one ways and then, you know, playing time, but Brim is kind of he can do it all at once, which is kind of a cool idea.
Yeah. It's tough with the Omen smoke. Really, with Omen, if his smokes were just an inch faster, maybe he would be a little bit better. Just an inch faster.
I know. I'm pretty upset on their nerf. It makes it hard to play him.
Yeah, because I really feel Omen is a better controller. He does very well in the controlling position, and unpopular opinion, I think Omen is maybe pretty suited to be an AWPer, because in higher ELO I've seen with Astra, you can cut off a lot of angles and use all your utility to base your suck, so you can like do a one-way smoke and then you can suck people into that one way, you can see them, bang, they're out with an Astra. Yeah. And I feel Omen has that kind of same potential, not maybe as much as a Jet would, but like he can one way smoke, get an area, hit someone, and then TP out of there, TP to a new angle almost.
Yeah,
and then just keep doing that.
When I played Omen a bunch, like when I first started like the podcast, I used to AWP all the time, and I think any agent that can get different like verticality. Is because, you know, it's all that unknown. If like Omen's AWPing on C in Haven, he can be in like a bunch of different vertical positions, throwing off like the other person. Yeah.
And even like you're saying on Haven, if he's opping on C, they're going to rotate to either B or A. And Omen, if he has his ultimate, he can teleport just into A Heaven and then, oh, I'm here now.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
you can't escape me.
Uh-huh. And like if you are putting, you can put yourself in those like weird situations too, like in a cubby where you would normally die by a Raisinade, but you can just TP out of mm-hmm. there. I think yeah, any agent sure. like that can do that is really big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just there's some things I had. Another thing is that I haven't noticed this, but I've had questions about doing double controller for Fracture, because Fracture, there are like a lot of these little corners and cubbies, like we were saying with Brimstone, you can just not literally knock people out of sight. So I've done it before. It kind of works. It doesn't work all the time. But I was wondering your thoughts on that, on double controller on Fracture, like having an Omen and a Brimstone, because an Omen blind is great, and then also having, you know, Brimstone's ultimate to knock people off sight is also great too, because everything is so like cramped.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's like, I think I've seen a double controller a lot too, because you want to block off, you have a lot of different areas to block off too, you know, like mm-hmm. the Viper wall alone. You know, it's just that wall, and then her smoke's obviously not good. You almost need someone else who can smoke those different areas that the wall doesn't cover.
Mm-hmm.
I think, sure. double controller I've seen more and more, too, in, like, every map. Mm-hmm. Just to be able to block off and you know, try to push on site easier.
Yeah, having that double smoke, it's different, to be honest.
Yeah, for sure.
But, that's just about all the questions I had. If I do have another question, I will raise my hand. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for coming on, dude.
See you later.
I appreciate the help.
All right. See you later. Goodbye.
That was super, super good questions. On Fracture, like the double controller, super powerful. The team comps, I like how they're varying a little bit more. Like you're seeing more of like the double controller be more useful and less of like the triple duelist, or, you know, it's just the two duelists pushing on site. Maybe like a different change in meta is really good for Valorant. One thing that I forgot to mention is Jett. So Jett had a bug with her dash where, you know, it took her longer to pull out her gun after she dashed, after she used her Tailwind. And they mentioned in Twitter saying, Valorant Twitter, they said, like, this was unintentional, but we kept it in just kind of to see how it works. So that has been reverted back to the original. So I guess it didn't really go as planned as they hoped. I think they're probably, I guess they accidentally changed it. And then also the cost of her updrafts, so like her updrafts, they just costed a little bit more, and then they left it in the game. They said it was a bug, but they left it, and then they reverted back. So to me, it seems like they said it was a bug just to see how the community like thought the update was. You know, if they hated it, then they just like then they changed it back. That's kind of the vibes I got. So they obviously changed it back. People were probably hating on them for changing Jett. You cannot. Coulter has said it so many times, you cannot change Jett's dash at all without destroying Jett. Like, her dash is the best thing in the game, the most unique ability. If you change that, she's out. She's out of the picture. So they reverted it, and now she's normal. There has been no changes to her. Just like maybe if you're playing this last week and you do play Jett, you probably have noticed that. A very interesting change from Valorant. Okay, so back to Killjoy. Any Killjoy mains who do play like Fracture or use her ult in different ways, they like her ultimate can be countered very easily. You know, by like a Brimstone ult. If you're on Fracture, you know, I can go underneath. I'll Killjoy ult underneath one Brim ult, or you know, some Sova lineup, it can destroy it extremely easy. And the best way to counter that is like, you can't really, there's not much counters to it, but you just place your ults in places that they're not normally placed. Like if it's always placed in a certain corner, step back from the corner just a little bit and go there. It might prevent from like people just wall banging it, because you know you can just shoot through the wall, destroy the ult, and then you know that didn't do anything for that round at all. Like it's over. So putting it in these like weird areas, the enemy can still look at the mini map, but they also don't know like the verticality. They don't know the exact precise like place, but if you do place it in the corner, they're probably going to get a really good idea on where it's at and where to shoot. If you place it a little off of the corner or a little bit back, it might prevent them from breaking it extremely early. So it can help in some ways. And then back to what I was saying about her abilities for her teammates. It's like, it's not really good for yourself a lot of the times. It's going to be better off for other people. It's going to be better for, like, my Omen blind. I never blind for myself. I will always blind for my teammates because it just works way better. It always works better, and you can usually do way more things with it if you're using it with your teammates. Same goes with Killjoy. Like, her turret can be placed in front of your own teammate, and then your teammate can kind of crouch behind the turret, and it's almost like a body block, and the enemy won't notice that you're behind the turret right away, because it's kind of like a weird kind of glitch. One example is in Hookah on Bind. I hid behind the Killjoy turret. It's in Hookah in the very back right corner. At the very corner, there's like a box, and you can place a turret on that. You can sit behind it, and then when they enter Hookah, they don't see your head behind the turret, and sometimes they won't shoot the turret right away because they don't want to die from, you know, someone holding that with a shotgun or holding it from sight. So you can sometimes get a kill there, and it feels very cheesy, feels very scummy, but it works. So that's another way to use her turret. Best way is info. Like, hands down, best way is info. Also, if you are going to, like, rotate, if they all go one site, the other site that you're not on, and you have all of your Killjoy stuff there, just be a... she's really good to anchor with, you know, because she's able to get that info. And then if you run away, her turret's going to go down and her alarm bot goes down in that huge radius. When that goes down, you have no info. You only have the alarm bot, the nanoswarms. So when you do see that, just always tell your teammate, like, hey, I can anchor. And then you stay on site. Your one teammate, you can just be that one person on site. Your other teammate will rotate. You have more people on the other site since they're committing there. And then you can decide what to do from there. You know, you can see if they do commit, then you'll rotate. You can also pick up your turret and your alarm bot. It's like a 15-second timer or something before you can place it down. And bring it onto the other site. But make sure you're always doing that, picking up your Killjoy turret and your alarm bot. That's really useful. Another agent that she's super similar to, one agent that she is Cypher. And Cypher, they kind of both have these different setups they can do. They're obviously very different agents, but their different setups, they help with like the same type of things. You know, they help your teammates. They give you info. And in our Cypher episode a long time ago, when we talked to the legendary Mr. Sandman, he was like an immortal who played Cypher, and he always talked about placing all of your utility like spread across a map instead of one area. And this is kind of goes with the same with Killjoy, where I've never seen it before, but when I played Killjoy, I placed like an alarm bot on B site, one alarm bot on A site, put a turret mid, and then like an alarm bot somewhere else. So you're going, I mean, nano swarm on one site, nano swarm on the other site, and then like a turret mid. So you have pretty much every single site with util, and then you're nano swarms, like if you do hear a plant, you can lay that nano swarm down, and then if you hear one on the other site, you can, you know, lay that nano swarm down. And this just helps it, so you have util. When you do have util spread across the map, no matter where they go, it's going to help in some way. And then also, like, when you're playing split, you're attacking, the Killjoy's on the other team, you know Killjoy is going to be holding B. Like, without a doubt, if she's holding B, everyone just goes A because they know Killjoy's nano swarm, she's going to be able to hold it down, and it's going to be hard to take sight with Killjoy there. If you have that, you know that Killjoy is not going to be seeing much action. Her abilities won't be seeing much action at all. But if she does have a nano swarm on the other site, she'll still be able to help out the team just with preventing them to push on site or whatnot. So her util can help all around. And what I was saying, if you play mid, your turret and your alarm bot, you know, it has that huge circle around it, and then they deactivate when you get away from it. So if you're playing on the middle of the map, you'll still have those abilities up. You just want to play in areas where your abilities will be up so they're not deactivated and, you know, being useless or whatever. That's just one thing to be aware of. That's it for Killjoy. Like I said, I only played her a couple times. I wasn't, like, deep into Killjoy. I just looked at a bunch of videos. I've always liked her as an agent. And she's very, very, very good agent. You know, she's definitely in the picture. She's not the Yuru, you know, the Yuru changes that we're needing. So moving on to new agent, guys. We had a little teaser trailer from Play Valorant, and it doesn't give us much at all, but it's kind of some hype for the new agent. I'm extremely excited. We need something big. The updates are terrible. It sucks. We need something from Valorant, you know, anything. So it's a little leak here. It's just a spinning circle. And it looks like a labyrinth or like a maze that's just spinning in circles. You know, it sucks. Doesn't give us much, but at least it's something to get excited for because I know it's going to happen soon. And then the new skin pack did release. It's all right. You know, it's one of those, like, we kind of predicted it. It's those skin packs that aren't amazing. They don't have any effects on them. They're just basic, you know, no effects on them or animations. And it's just a money scam. They're like, I think it's like 5,000 for the entire pack. So obviously, if you want and you have money in your bank account, go do it. Because, you know, what else do you have to lose? It's just some money. That's all. And then the omen changes. There was no omen changes this week. No update this week. I'm looking forward to the omen changes because we need them. And I do think that leak was right. So I think next week, maybe probably this patch, we'll see something there. And that's it for Valorant updates. They did release a article on their anti-cheat, saying, like, adding 90-day penalties and just pretty much more penalties for cheating, better anti-cheat, which is all good and whatnot. Crazy thing, I have not seen one. I have not seen one single cheater yet. I don't know if you guys have, but what a great game if there's not a single cheater. That's pretty big. Coulter right now is in the Twitch stream, guys. He's in the chat right now talking. And how trash is that? He ditches his brother to Texas and then never, and then just kind of teases me in the chat, just laughs because I know he knows that I have to solo this. So I just wanted to point that out because, you know, this is what I have to deal with. Him just ditching me for better things. You know, he obviously does not have his priorities straight. Travelicious as well in the chat hasn't seen another cheater at all. So that's also very big. I'm glad we were able to confirm that. Okay, guys, that's it for this episode. That's all I had to talk about. Very, very bland, not too much meat. Like I said, we're kind of saving this for another episode on our actual celebration, our celebration of an entire year, which is going to be quite nasty. And we're going to be doing some nasty stuff, boys. So just grab a hold of those pants, pull them up a little bit. I think there's going to be something coming for you boys. Not sure next week or the week after, but you guys have done way too much for us. All the subscriptions. Oh my gosh. Like, okay. Trusty gifting 2 subs. Insane, dude. 26 subs in total. 26 subs in total. That's insane, dude. Like, Trusty. Crazy thing is, Coulter is actually going to go see Trusty on Thursday. So that's actually pretty cool. We're doing a little live, you know, it's like a Flow State Gaming meetup. So that's pretty sick. Fassage with the gifted sub. Stop it, dude. Fassage, another gifted sub. Insane. Insane. Thank you all. It's amazing. Very, very amazing. But anyways, like I was saying, sorry for this bad episode. Coulter's not here. I kind of wanted to save community feedback for next week. All of that good stuff. I'm still doing questions in the Spotify. So questions for the next episode. Just throw your questions in there. That helps a lot. We can go over them and talk about, you know, the different upcoming things. Thank you all. I'm going to do my stupid outro now. Because, you know, I have to keep this going. I have to keep this stupid outro going. Because if I stop, then the podcast will be decent. The Cloaked Kunai, one question before you go. Talk to me. I'm going to give it a second because the Cloaked Kunai is the new agent. Cloaked Kunai, I already talked about that. I already talked about the new agent. He's an upcoming Sentinel called Deadeye. Hasn't came out yet. He will be coming out soon. So, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Flow State Gaming Podcast, episode 52, marking 1 year of a Valorant podcast. Thank you all for tuning in and watching. We are obviously live on Twitch at 6 p.m. Tuesdays. Next week, Coulter will be back. We will be going full force and be going ham. It's been a pleasure and an honor. Hope you all have enjoyed. See you next week. Bye. Oh. 12 seconds.
How touching.
Cloaked Kunai, I think that ability will actually probably work. That's a great ability. Cloaked Kunai, did I miss something, brother? I think we're just gonna save it for next week. Travelicious, I'll do a peace sign for you, dude. I'll give you one. I'm very sorry for that episode. I know it was kind of quick, fast. It is extremely hard talking by yourself when you suck at talking. Let's just say that. It is extremely hard. I just wasn't prepared at all either. I bought a car. I sold my car like 2 weeks ago. And I was carless for a while. And I just bought a car like 2 days ago. So I've been working on it. I was going to buy like a new car. You know, I was going to go ham, walk into the dealership, drop cash, you know, say, give me your newest car. But I decided to go beater. And I got a 2005 Honda Civic. So I'm a Civic owner now. I used to have a Civic a while ago. And they are filthy. I just love ramming them into gear, you know, and just trashing them. So my goal is just kind of use this car for like a year or two, wait until car prices go down, and then get a car that I like. But you know, it runs really good. It's in really good condition. I got it for a really good deal too. So it's just a fun car. Travelicious, you have a 2005 Mazda CX-5. I like those a lot, dude. I really like the Mazda 3 hatchbacks. Fasaj, I'll see you later, dude. Thank you again. You're amazing. A Ford C Max. I'm not aware of that. But yeah, I was working on my car like right when I got back from work. I had zero time, guys. Got back from work and then like vacuumed my car right when I did. And then, you know, went inside and got ready for the podcast. It was just like so quick, happened really fast. That's why it went to 6:30, and then even then it was just like tough getting it right on time. Ford C Max, dude, these are clean. I think hatchbacks for any car is the way to go. I'm being honest. My Honda Civic is obviously not a hatchback, but if you guys look up the 2022, I meant Honda Civic hatchback. That, I don't know why, but that car, it looks so clean, dude. The 2022, the newest Civic hatchback that was just released, they have like a different style for it. Oh, it just looks beautiful. That car I really like, and then the Subaru Crosstrek I really like, and like Subaru Outbacks. I go up to the mountain every day. You know, because I work at a ski resort, obviously. So I have to have a good car for snow. That's why I like Subaru is kind of the best route for me, but we'll see. My Civic will work fine. I'll have to send a picture to the chat for you boys. All right, I'm gonna end the stream now. Just because I have things to do. But thank you, boys. Cheers. Cheers to 1 year. Thank you all so much. Just make sure you're there for next week. Make sure you're there when we're both here. So we can actually give you boys what you deserve, you know? Chug it all. I can't, dude. I'm sorry. I'll take another sip. I will shotgun a beer for you next week for that, okay? I'll shotgun one for you next week. Kill Magruder. Subbing with a prime. Dude, why? Gifting a tier one sub. Just insane. You guys do not have to do that. It's just like unreal. Thank you so much, man. Gifting 12 subs in the channel. Oh. Hey, more news. Thinking about all of your guys' amazing support. I have my mic. Okay? I have my mic right here. And I also have, let's see here. I also have my mixer. It's a Focusrite Scarlett. But some sucky news, I still need a cord and I still need a mic stand, a mic arm. So it sucks. Very unfortunate. Travelicious, it did not come with the cord, man. I got my mic from Audio Technica, like their website. So I had no package. And the suckiest thing is that I was looking for one like at Walmart and whatnot. or other stores, and I cannot find a single place that sells a mic audio cord. There are no places that sell microphone cords. And we have no music stores in our area. Like, none. It's super weird. No guitar centers either. I called. So I have to order it online. I was just kind of expecting, you know, I was like planning on buying it at Walmart or whatever. So I'm just going to order one. I'm ordering the PSA 1 mic arm. I don't know. I think it was Travel or someone else who... Oh, shoot. We have some boys who raised their hands. Hello? Hopefully I didn't miss you during the podcast. I feel bad. The mic... Travel...
Hello?
Hey, Travel. Wait, what's up, dude? What mic arm did you send me?
I don't know.
I think he said...
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, is it the same one that I sent you, or?
Oh, I can't order on Amazon. That's why. Yeah, I couldn't order this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I can't order on Amazon, so I have to order on like sweetwater.com.
Oh, okay.
And that's why I went with like the PSA one or whatever.
So can you order a microphone, like an XLR? So the type of cable you need is an XLR cable?
Yeah.
Can you get that? Can you get that on Amazon?
No, I can't get anything like on Amazon 20? Right now.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Well, my account is like closed for some reason. So
we're
still working it out. Yeah. The PSA Rode boom arm, that's the one that I was going to go for.
You can try, you could try looking up on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, I tried that, dude. There was nothing.
Oh, you did? Really?
Nothing.
Wow.
Yeah. I know, it's dumb. Yeah. So.
It's an F, yeah.
I know. What about, there's no specific cables you need, right? It's just a normal,
I mean,
XLR cable.
Other than, for the like mic to plug in, but for headphones, I think you might need an adapter to a quarter inch cable.
I got that.
Okay, yeah. So then other than
this
that, because like the other than that, you just need the XLR cable, I'm pretty sure. And then you have the cable that plugs in the Focusrite to the PC, right?
Yep. Yeah, I was gonna call you when everything came in.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah,
Jesse,
totally. Like
with the Hunter Biddy boys. What are you saying?
Let's go, Trusty. No, I was like, when everything does come in, and if you want help like setting it up, then like feel free to let me know, and I'll help you out.
Yeah, dude. I'll probably just stream it then.
Yeah, totally.
Do a little community mic setup.
Hell yeah, dude.
People will
be
able to
get the input from the peasants and me.
Yeah, I know. People will be too excited, though, for actually good sounding audio.
It'll be sweet. Dude, having a nice mic, I swear to God, dude, 3/4 of the games that I play in Valorant, people are like, damn, you sound sexy, dude, because of my mic.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
It's hysterical.
I actually got that a couple times with my mic, which is surprising. Like my headset mic.
What about it?
Oh, some people said like it sounds really good, but I never believed them.
I mean, I feel like it also depends on the person's audio settings themselves. Like, because I mean, I usually have my teammates turned at least halfway down.
Oh.
Or actually, probably at the most halfway down.
I see.
Just because I feel like half the time it feels like they're screaming in my ear.
Mm-hmm. Just, ramming your eardrums. That's brutal. Oh, all right, man. I'm going to end the stream.
All right.
But thanks, Travel. I'll message you out when that comes in. It'll probably be like, I don't know, later this week or maybe not. Maybe next Monday.
Word. Yeah, just let me know.
Yeah, dude. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, peasants, I'm going to end the stream. It's been an honor and a pleasure. Thank you all.